This article is brought to you by the best-selling booksy Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to use the recover method when a tension management conversation makes things worse. 7 steps to repair a conversation that escalated instead of resolved. In short, a tension management conversation that makes things worse is not a failure you have to live with permanently. The recover method gives you a clear path back. Recognize what broke down before you attempt to fix anything. Stop, cool down, and return with a repair mindset rather than a defense. Own your part, acknowledge the other person's experience, and recommit to the relationship before revisiting the original issue. Definition: the recover method is a 7-step tension management framework for repairing conversations that escalate or collapse. It covers recognizing what went wrong, ending if needed, cooling down, owning mistakes, validating experience, explaining intent, and recommitting to the relationship. You went into the conversation wanting to ease the tension. You chose your words carefully. You kept your tone measured. And somehow, 10 minutes later, the other person was angrier than when you started. You were defensive, and the original problem was buried under a fresh layer of conflict neither of you had planned for. This is the part nobody warns you about when they tell you to address tension directly. Sometimes the conversation itself becomes the crisis. And when that happens, most people do one of two things: they push harder, convinced that more talking will eventually fix it, or they retreat entirely and hope the silence does the work. Neither approach repairs a tension management conversation that has already gone wrong. In Say It Right Every Time, I introduce the recover method as a structured way to handle exactly this situation. Chapter 11 lays out the full framework for high-stakes conversations, and the 7-step recovery approach is a tool I reach for when the initial conversation has made things worse, not better. What follows is the complete method, step by step, ready to use. Why structure saves you when a tension conversation breaks down. Here is the truth of it: when a conversation goes badly wrong, your brain stops problem solving and starts defending. The moment you feel attacked or misunderstood, the part of your mind that chose careful words and measured tone gets pushed aside by the part that wants to protect itself. You are no longer managing tension. You are generating it. This is not a character flaw. It is biology. Under pressure, without a clear structure to fall back on, even experienced communicators default to their worst habits. They repeat themselves louder, make assumptions about the other person's motives, or withdraw in a way that reads as contempt. Structure does not make these impulses disappear. It gives you something to reach for when they arrive. A framework becomes a kind of handrail in the dark you may not be able to see clearly. We can feel the way forward. That is precisely what the recover method is designed to do. The recover method. All 7 steps explained. This is the framework I outline in Chapter 11 of Say It Right Every Time. Each step builds on the one before it. Skipping a step, especially in the early stages, is the single most common reason recovery attempts fail. Step 1. R. Recognize what went wrong. What it is. An honest, specific diagnosis of where the conversation broke down before you attempt any repair. Why it matters. You cannot fix something you have not correctly identified. Most people who try to repair a conversation go straight to apologizing or explaining, without first understanding what specifically caused the collapse. The repair then misses the actual wound. How to apply it. Number 1. Sit with the conversation for a few minutes before acting. Resist the urge to send a message or knock on a door immediately. Number 2. Ask yourself, was it what I said, how I said it, or when I said it? Did I misread their emotional state? Did I push past a signal that they needed space? Number 3. Write it down in 1 or 2 plain sentences. Keeping it concrete prevents you from spiraling into vague self-criticism or, worse, blaming the other person entirely. Example: a manager tries to address tension between 2 colleagues and ends up accusing one of them of being difficult. She realizes afterward that she named a behavior pattern rather than a specific incident, and the colleague felt attacked rather than heard. Eamon's note: the recognition step is not about beating yourself up. It is about being honest enough to know exactly what you're going to repair. Step 2. E. End the conversation if it is still happening. What it is. A clear, respectful pause placed on a conversation that has escalated beyond productive ground. Why it matters. Continuing a conversation that has already broken down does not fix the breakdown. It deepens it. Every additional exchange made in a heightened state adds more damage to repair later. Ending is not retreating. It is the responsible thing to do. How to apply it? Number 1. Use a direct, calm statement that names what is happening without blaming the other person for it. Number 2. Propose a specific time to return, not an open-ended let's talk later. Number 3. Leave the room or end the call without making a parting shot, even if you've one ready. Script to use from chapter 11 of Say It Right. Every time I can see that you're very upset, and I want to understand what's going on. However, I need us to have this conversation calmly. I'm asking you to lower your voice so we can talk this through productively. If you're not able to do that right now, I'm going to suggest we take a break and come back to this when we're both calmer. When not to use this step? If the conversation, while uncomfortable, is actually making progress, do not use the ending step to escape discomfort. The end is for genuine breakdowns, not just difficult moments. Eamon's note: knowing when to stop is a skill. I spent too many years confusing endurance with courage. Step 3. See, cool down properly. What it is? A deliberate recovery period between the broken conversation and the repair attempt. Why it matters? Cooling down is not just about waiting. It is about returning your nervous system to a state where you can think clearly, listen genuinely, and speak without your defenses driving the words. Going back too soon is one of the most common repair mistakes I have seen. How to apply it? Number 1. Set a minimum cooling period. For most tension management situations, this is at least 2 hours. For serious ruptures, it may be a day. Number 2. Use the time to actively review what you want to say in the repair conversation. Anticipate how the other person might respond and decide what you genuinely want the outcome to be. Number 3. Do not rehearse arguments. Rehearse listening. When not to use this step? If there is a time-sensitive situation where delay causes real harm to a project or relationship, compress the cooling period, but do not eliminate it entirely. Even 15 minutes of deliberate reset is better than none. Eamon's note: I have never once regretted waiting an hour before going back. I have often regretted not waiting. Step 4. On your mistakes specifically. What it is? A clear, direct acknowledgement of your specific contribution to how the conversation broke down. Why it matters? Vague apologies create more tension, not less. I'm sorry if you felt that way is not ownership. It puts the problem in the other person's reaction rather than in your actions. Specific ownership lowers the other person's defenses and creates space for real repair. How to apply it? Number 1. Name the exact thing you said or did that made the conversation worse. Use the diagnosis from step 1. Number 2. State it without qualifiers. Resist the instinct to explain why you did it before you have acknowledged the impact. Number 3. Keep it short. 1 or 2 sentences. Ownership that goes on too long starts to sound like a performance. Script to use: I've been thinking about our conversation, and I don't feel good about how it went. I said some things I regret, specifically what you said. I want to make this right. Can we talk? Example: The manager from step 1 returns to her colleague and says, I named a pattern instead of a specific situation, and I can see how that felt unfair. That was on me. Eamon's note: taking responsibility for your part first is not weakness. It is what creates the opening for the other person to do the same. Step 5. Validate their experience. What it is? An honest acknowledgement that the other person's reaction to the conversation was understandable, regardless of your intentions. Why it matters? People do not calm down because you have explained yourself. They calm down because they feel heard. Validation is not agreement. You are not saying they were right and you were wrong. You're saying, given what happened, the response makes sense. How to apply it? Number 1. Reflect back what you observed in the reaction, using neutral language. Number 2. Acknowledge the impact of the conversation on them, separate from your intent. Number 3. Do not move to explanation or justification until you have completed this step fully. Connection to the broader framework. This step links directly to the kind of real apology I describe in Say It Right. Every time acknowledgement, impact recognition, and commitment to change. You cannot reach the third element without passing through the first two. Eamon's note: people who feel heard rarely need to fight. People who feel dismissed almost always do. Step 6. Explain your intent without excusing the impact. What it is? A brief, honest account of what you were trying to achieve in the original conversation, offered after the other person feels heard. Why it matters? Intent and impact are two different things. Your intent does not cancel the impact your words had. But unexplained intent creates a vacuum that the other person fills with their worst assumption about you. Explaining your intent at the right moment and in the right sequence helps the other person understand the conversation was not an attack, even if it felt like one. How to apply it. Number one, use a clear opener that separates intent from impact. What I was trying to do was rather than what I meant was the first is transparent. The second can sound like an excuse. Number two, keep it brief. 1 to 3 sentences. This is not a defense. It is a clarification. Number three, do not use the step to relitigate the original issue. That comes later, once the relationship is stable. When not to use this step? If the other person is still visibly upset and has not yet felt validated, wait. Explaining your intent too early sounds like deflection. Eamon's note. The sequence matters more than the words. In the wrong order, explanation sounds like excuse. In the right order, it sounds like honesty. Step 7. R. Recommit to the relationship. What it is. An explicit statement that the relationship matters to you and that you want to move forward. Not just resolve the incident. Why it matters. Most tension management conversations focus on the issue. This final step shifts the focus to the people. It signals that the original friction was not a verdict on the relationship, and that you are choosing to invest in it rather than simply conclude the awkward episode. How to apply it. Number one, name the relationship with a working dynamic specifically. I value how we work together is stronger than I value you in a professional context. Number two, propose a concrete next step, however small. A brief check-in in a day or two, a shared task you can complete together, a commitment to raise concern sooner next time. Number three, keep the language simple and real. Overly formal recommitment sounds hollow. Script to use. I value our relationship, and I hope you can forgive me. Moving forward, I'm committed to specific change in behavior. If you want the full framework for preparing and executing high-stakes conversations from the beginning, Say It Right Every Time covers the companion master method in the same chapter, designed for when you need to prepare a difficult conversation before it goes wrong rather than recover after it does. Choosing when to apply each part of the recovery framework. Not every tension management breakdown calls for the full 7 steps in a single conversation. Use this guide to match your situation to the right entry point. Situation start at step. Conversation is still active and escalating step 2 end. Conversation has just ended badly step 1 recognize, then step 3. Hours or days have passed since the breakdown step 4 own. Other person is still visibly upset step 5 validate before anything else. Relationship feels fragile after the repair step 7 recommit revisited deliberately. One thing I want to be direct about, if the conversation involved manipulation or gaslighting, the sequence changes slightly. Before you reach step 4, you need clarity on what actually happened. A written record, notes made immediately after the conversation, gives you an anchor to reality when someone attempts to rewrite events. For guidance on handling manipulation in tension conversations, how to use the deal method to diffuse tension between two colleagues who refuse to cooperate covers that specific dynamic in detail. The medium you choose for the repair conversation also matters. In person is almost always the right choice for recovery attempt. A text message apology for a serious breakdown is inadequate, not because the words are wrong, but because the medium is too lean to carry the emotional weight. If in person is not possible, a video or phone call is the next best option. Starting a difficult conversation that is blocking your team's synergy addresses how to set up the environment for those conversations well. Where recovery attempts go wrong. I've watched good people apply parts of this framework and still fail to repair a conversation. Here is what tends to derail it. The mistake. Moving to explanation before validation. Why it happens. Explaining your intent feels urgent when you've been misunderstood. It feels like the fastest way to fix things. What to do instead? Hold your explanation until the other person has had a chance to feel heard. The sequence is not optional. The mistake. Apologizing for the other person's reaction instead of your own behavior. Why it happens. It is genuinely hard to own something when you believe the other person also behaved badly. What to do instead? Own your part first, fully, before addressing theirs. Taking responsibility for your part first creates the opening for them to take theirs. Waiting for them to go first almost never works. The mistake. Attempting repair in writing when a situation requires a richer medium. Why it happens. Writing feels safer. It gives you control over your words and removes the discomfort of a real-time conversation. What to do instead? Use the medium that matches the difficulty of the situation. Text is for logistics. Serious repair needs a voice and, ideally, a face. The mistake: we're committing without specifying a concrete change. Why it happens? I want to do better sounds sincere, but without a specific commitment, it gives the other person nothing to trust. What to do instead? Name one specific thing you will do differently. I will raise concerns in private before they become group issues is a commitment. I will try to communicate better is a wish. For teams where repair conversations are a recurring need, how to use the bridge method to rebuild synergy after a team breakdown gives you a complementary structure for the group level, and how to use the deal method to resolve conflicts that are fracturing. Team synergy addresses the conflict layer beneath the surface tension. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Building fluency with the recover method over time. Knowing the steps is not the same as being able to use them under pressure. I have said this in many forms over the years, and Chapter 11 of Say It Right Every Time puts it plainly: knowing what to do and actually doing it are two different things. The gap closes with deliberate practice, not just repeated exposure. After any difficult conversation, whether it goes well or not, spend 5 minutes reviewing it against the framework. Which steps did you use naturally? Which did you skip? Which felt hardest? That kind of honest review, done consistently, builds genuine fluency faster than any rehearsal. Good feedback skills support this process. When you give and receive feedback clearly and regularly, the emotional charge around difficult conversations drops over time. Why effective feedback is the backbone of workplace growth explains why the foundation matters, and how to use the SBY method to give feedback that actually changes behavior gives you a specific tool that pairs well with the recovery framework. If meetings are where tension tends to surface in your team, how to run productive meetings that don't waste time reduces the conditions that create those flashpoints in the first place. The discomfort of having the recovery conversation is temporary. The damage left by avoiding it tends to be permanent. That much I know for certain, from 60 years of watching both choices play out. What you carry forward after a conversation goes wrong. A tension management conversation that makes things worse is not the end of the working relationship. It is a moment that calls for a different kind of skill, the skill of repair. The recover method gives you that skill in a form you can actually reach for when the pressure is on. The framework does not promise that the other person will meet you halfway. Some will not, at least not immediately. But it gives you something far more valuable than a guaranteed outcome: a clear conscience and a clear method. You did not retreat. You did not push harder and make it worse. You recognized what broke, stopped the bleeding, and came back with honesty and the courage to own your part. That is what separates the people who transform their communication from the people who do not. Not intelligence, not natural talent. The willingness to be uncomfortable and to keep trying anyway. The recover method tension management framework is what makes that willingness useful. Frequently asked questions. What is the recover method in tension management? The recover method is a 7-step tension management framework for repairing conversations that escalate or collapse. It guides you through recognizing what went wrong, ending the conversation if needed, cooling down, owning the stakes, validating the other person, explaining your intent, and recommitting to the relationship. How do you use the recover method tension framework at work? Apply the recover method after any tension conversation that made things worse. Start by identifying what specifically went wrong, then pause the conversation, take a cooling period, acknowledge your role, and return to the other person with a clear repair statement before attempting to resolve the original issue. When should you stop a tension management conversation and restart it later? Stop the conversation when either person raises their voice, stops listening, or begins repeating themselves without taking in what the other says. A brief pause of even a few hours can prevent a recoverable disagreement from becoming a lasting rupture. Timing matters as much as the words you choose. What does owning your mistakes mean in a conflict recovery conversation? Owning your mistakes means naming specifically what you said or did that made the conversation worse, without adding qualifiers or shifting blame. It is not a full apology yet. It is an honest acknowledgement that creates space for the other person to lower their defenses before deeper repair can begin. How is the recover method tension approach different from a standard apology? A standard apology often covers only what happened. The recover method goes further by separating the breakdown into steps, cooling down first, then owning your part, validating the other person's experience, clarifying your intent, and explicitly recommitting to the relationship so repair has a foundation to stand on. Can the recover method help after a conversation that involved explosive anger? Yes, the method is specifically designed for high-stakes breakdowns, including those involving anger. The ending and cooling steps prevent further escalation, while the owning and validating steps address the emotional damage. It works best when both people are willing to re-engage, even if only one person initiates the process. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.